Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Drive for Show, DFS for Dough here on Roto Grinders. Happy to be back another week talking golf, and the schedule is really going to ramp up hot and heavy here in the month of March. We've got the Arnold Palmer Invitational this week, and we've got the Players Championship next week. So an elevated event this week, and then basically what a lot of people consider the fifth major of the year next week for the Players Championship. So should be a couple of fun weeks on the horizon. You may know if you are watching us live, we are back to Tuesdays. So we've had a lot of back and forth about whether to do this on Monday as an early show or do it on Tuesday. We have finally settled, I think, on doing it Tuesdays. I just think the amount of information you get and have available, we've got some drafts of projected ownership run at this point that doing it on Tuesday nights makes a little bit more sense. So we're going to try to stick with the Tuesday dates here going forward. And plenty of golf talk ahead of us here this week for a fun tournament. So to help break it down, you've got myself, Justin Van Zuiden, STL Cardinals 84, and Derek Farnsworth, a.k.a. Notorious, alongside as usual. Noto, what's happening?
Yeah, what's going on? I thought we were talking about the Puerto Rico Open. We're doing the API?
The Puerto Rico Open was only relevant, in the couple years that it was a standalone. It's kind of like the Outlaw Tour, right? It was only relevant during COVID. So shout out to Rafael Campos, who always dominates the Puerto Rico Open. But we won't be covering that here this week.
Yeah, Daniel Berger begs to differ. But excited for this week. Should be a fun event. How'd you do at the formerly known as Honda?
Yeah, so it's about my fourth consecutive week, I think, with reasonable lineups, but a small loss. I had 16%, 6-6 last week. I did 50 lineups. I had 8 6-6, and I think the 6-6 percentage was 2%. But didn't have Ekrot in my player pool. I'm getting really sick of all these long shots every week winning the tournament. I had a lot of Lowry. I had a lot of EVR. If one of those guys would have won, maybe could have gotten to the top of something. I think my best lineup actually ended up being a 5-6 with Svensson in there. So, yeah, it was a solid player pool again last week. But too much Eric Cole was a problem. And that was, he was basically DFL. So, it was okay. It wasn't an awful week, but just so close yet so far away again. How about you?
Yeah, I was the exact opposite of you in that I had a bad player pool and ended up making some money. just because I had one team that was pretty good. But yeah, too much Eric Cole, too much Bezuden out, who was 5 under par with like 5 holes left to play and missed the cut. So that's kind of what the bear trap can do to you. But yeah, that Lowry birdie on 18 was like a $1,500 difference for me. So thank you to Mr. Lowry. And yeah, a little more pep in my step heading into this week.
Well, there you go. That's always good. We'll maybe this is the week that somebody can pay it off, either us or somebody in the chat or somebody that watches the show regularly with a big prize payout. We'll have a couple of big prize pools here this week and next week with some of the DFS contests. So Ekrot continued the trend of underdogs. I didn't look up. So what were his odds last week? Do you know or have that handy? What was he pre-tournament last week?
But
he had to be close to 100, I would think.
Yeah, it was pretty big. I don't know. And,
he had to be in that range based on where he was priced and survived the Monday finish, survived the nerves. So good for him, even though we are – you know, we weren't, or at least I wasn't, rooting for him for the best case scenario for my lineups. He ended up getting it done there after the rain delay on Sunday. EVR did have a big Sunday round. Lowry as well had a strong week. So we saw some guys up near the top with Eric Cole being one of the bigger surprises for guys that missed the cut. Svensson was another guy that I had in my player pool that had a tough week. Anything else that stood out to you last week?
You know, you'd think the PGA Tour would have heard of a weather forecast and seen this big storm coming in on Sunday. Instead, they decided to go twosomes and let the leaders go out at like 2 o'clock local time. Every week it's something new with the PGA Tour that just is bad. I didn't love that they, you know, kind of took the teeth out of the course too. They said that the players are complaining that 3 difficult courses in a row, so they made it a little bit easier. The PGA National, it's just, they're catering to the players and they don't know how to look at weather. And I don't know.
Yeah, it's very strange, especially when you consider that Florida, you know, that those forecasts tend to happen in the afternoons and can't finish the tournament on Sunday. I don't know. It was weird to me as well. Didn't end up impacting things too much. I mean, that was actually kind of what got us in the conversation of whether to do this show on Mondays or Tuesdays, because last week's tournament didn't end until that was probably around 11:30 a.m. on Monday. Those sort of things just push back the end of the previous week and the start of the new week. And it has been a rough year for the PGA Tour on a lot of things. So when these things happen, it just adds more fuel to the fire for the detractors, so to speak. But in any case, at least they got it done there on Monday mid-morning, and guys don't have to travel too far, I guess, to get to Bay Hill for this week. So we can probably turn the page pretty quickly. But anything else you want to go over on last week's results?
What do you think Anthony Kim being back? Didn't play great, but kind of
fun. Yeah, I mean, it's a fun story. How many years off?
10, I think.
10. So, I mean, and you look at what guys did, like when Berger came back, he struggled his first couple starts. And you look at Zalatoris, really struggled his first couple starts, you know, then took him 3 or 4 starts and he got back to top 5 finish in his last start. And obviously guys like Berger and Zalatoris, you know, have more recent results than Anthony Kim. And when you looked at it, it still took them some time to shake off the rust. I mean, certainly we can't expect instant results, but will be fun to follow.
Yeah, the return was a little subdued. I thought it would get a bigger following on social media, but I guess when it's in Jeddah, there's just not a lot of attention when it's on Live. But man, he's like a myth and he looks old. I know it's been 10 years, we just haven't seen much of him. But a
lot of conspiracy theories going on about what, you know, what happened and stuff. It's just kind of weird.
Yeah, that is pretty weird with the insurance stuff and all that. But yeah, let's talk about this week.
All right, so we move to the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill. Certainly a course where we've got a lot of history. Different format to this event this year, though. It is one of the elevated events. And so we've got 69 golfers, I believe, in the player pool. And just like we saw a couple of weeks ago, we'll see a cut line, I believe, of top 50 in ties. Is that correct?
Yeah, and with anyone within 10.
And anyone within 10 strokes of the lead, yeah. So there was some discussion about that earlier a couple days ago as well. But top 50 in ties, so just like we saw with the elevated event in February, the same here in March, 69 golfers cut is top 50 in ties, and anyone within 10 strokes of the lead, the old Masters cut line rule. So in theory, you know, about 15 to 18 golfers are going to get cut. And that's what we thought last month. And then somehow, like, I had more guys get cut that week than I've had get cut out of my player pool the last four regular events. So somehow some of my guys found their way into the bottom 15 to 20 golfers. But strong field, big prize pools for the golfers as well, and a limited cut line this week. And somewhat soft pricing. We'll get into it, but I think the dynamic of how you build rosters this week is a little bit different than what we've seen in weeks past. Feels like major pricing, but with the pricing and the format of the tournament, how does that kind of go into your thought process just building lineups in general this week?
Yeah, talked about this a little bit on the expert survey. And if you are a premium member, we got a lot of new questions on the expert survey. Shout out to Justin for that, the other Justin.
Yeah, not me. No credit to me.
So, yeah, we got a lot of like tournament specific questions that are going to be on there moving forward. But yeah, with the small field, given the fact that I think, you know, 55 golfers are probably going to make the cut, I'm worrying less about safety and less about ownership and more just chasing upside, hoping to get guys that can finish in the top 10. So we're going to talk about some of them, like Minwoo Lee is going to be very popular. I don't know why he's priced where he is, but I'm fine being overweight on some of the chalk guys that I like. What about you?
Yeah, I am too. I think, you know, you just kind of search to get one lower owned guy in a lineup or something like that. Don't have to go nuts. But play some of the chalk you like, build some lower owned guys around it, and go from there. I think it's a good week to set like a max total lineup ownership, which you can do in Lineup HQ. You can just set a max, not individually with each specific player. While you can do that as well, you can also set a max ownership for your lineup as a whole, which I'll probably do this week to try to avoid, say, getting three or four of the most popular guys in the same lineup. At least that's how I'm approaching it right now. So we'll dig into some of the rationale behind that here. Of course, as usual, we'll do a snake draft at the end of the show. Should be fun to do one of those this week. So let's dig in. And part of, you know, why I mentioned the pricing being a little bit loose is that we've only got three golfers above 10K this week. So, and I forgot this again, but before we dig into who those golfers are, let's talk Bay Hill a little bit first. I just can't assume that everybody knows everything about the course. Even though this tournament's been played here for quite a while, we usually have Noto do a little brief preview about the course itself, so I'll let you drop that in here first.
Yeah, love the course. One of the most iconic finishes. We've had some, you know, absolute gems of finishes here over the years. But, yeah, par 72, just over 7,400 yards, so really long course. Fairways, they've gotten a little bit wider over the years, but you don't want to spray the ball too far. Water's in play on 9 of the 18 holes, so you're going to want to look at total driving. Distance is certainly an advantage this week, but going to be a lot of long irons, even for the longer hitters. I think all the par threes are over 200 yards, and 30% of the approach shots total are going to be over 200 yards. Yeah, it's a course where it's going to test all aspects of your game. The fairways are tough to hit. The greens are tough to hit. Last year, we saw 58% greens in regulation. And like most Florida courses, it's exposed to the elements. So if the wind picks up, it's going to be really difficult. It's been top 10 difficulty on tour each of the last 5 years. So, yeah, like ball striking, tee to green, bogey avoidance, history in Florida, I think is a positive. And then the course history here is the third most predictive on tour, right after Augusta and Riviera. So guys that play well here in the past tend to play well here each and every year.
I like the way on the backdrop that our green show backdrop goes with the blue backdrop of the two of us. The green and blue combination is satisfying to me. So, you know, we've changed color schemes and stuff. I like this green with the blue. It's not, you know, all blue. Steve was talking to us, producer Steve, before the show about, you know, some of the backdrops being maybe too much blue with the shows. But this one I like. I like the green and the blue. Which I was just kind of analyzing as you were talking through that there. So I became distracted by the color palette of the show, but I like it. It's appealing to me anyway. So we'll see if others agree that they like the green and the blue combo, but not much to add there. This is a challenging course. The four par fives tend to be the easiest holes on the course. I don't mind waiting par five scoring a little bit this week. Otherwise, you know, there is trouble lurking around here as well. The course did play a touch easier last year. Does sometimes just kind of depend on the wind. But the par fives will certainly be the easier holes and the ones where you want to make sure your guys are scoring. So, okay, back to the pricing. I mentioned softer pricing this week. We've seen some tournaments where, you know, a couple weeks ago when Finau was the clear top guy in the field, I think he was like 12.6K on DraftKings. And Scheffler's kind of been up in close to the 12K realm in some tournaments. He's only 11.3 this week. And we've only got two other golfers in the 10K, so only three total, with Rory at 10.6 and then Cantlay at 10,000. And there are some values in the lower range this week. So what that's going to do is two things. A, it's going to make it easy to fit one of these guys in your lineups if you want them. But B, it's also going to bump the ownership higher. I mean, we've got Scheffler trending in the 35 to 40% range, which is probably the highest we've seen, you know, a top-end golfer, especially in a strong field tournament. So what are you doing with these top three guys this week?
Yeah, definitely going to start with one of them. And you can start with two of them. If you play Rory and Scheffler, you still have over $7,000 per golfer. I probably wouldn't play Rory, Scheffler, Minwoo. That's going to be a very popular trio, I would guess. But, yeah, like you mentioned, the pricing's really soft. We don't have the 5K floor at least this week. It is $6,000 for the cheapest guys. But, again, a large portion of the field's going to make the cut. So you can definitely play two of these guys up here. I kind of get the feeling one of Rory or Scheffler are going to win. After all these long shots, it just feels like, you know, we need to start a win on the PGA Tour. We need to kickstart this season. It's just been so lackluster the first couple months. But yeah, if I'm choosing between the two, I'm going with Scheffler. He's number one in this field over the last 12 months. Ball striking, birdie or better, birdie opportunities, bogey avoidance, strokes gain in Florida, and strokes gain on par 72 courses. So everything but the putter is elite for Scheffler. If he's like even with the field with the putter, you got to like his chances this week. And then Rory, I mean, Rory was awesome last week. I think he led the field in tee to green. And he's obviously got a great track record here. They both won here. So, yeah, those two are going to be my favorites. I'm probably not going to play a lot of Cantlay. But, yeah, what do you think?
Hey, I'm in lockstep there. I think I'm going to play more Rory than Scheffler. That's largely just due to ownership. I think, you know, you look at since 2019, Scheffler here, 15th win and fourth. Obviously great. Rory, 6th, 5th, 10th, 13th, and 2nd. Almost 45 strokes gained on the field in those starts. So two guys with great history here. You know, if you look at near-term stats, 24 rounds, Rory actually has the edge over Scheffler off the tee. And Rory's putter's been a little bit shaky, not Scheffler level shaky lately, but Rory hasn't been himself. And the results, you know, kind of bear that out a little bit. So it's just Scheffler is putting up numbers that we haven't seen since Tiger from tee to green, just not as good with the putter. So when you factor in ownership, Rory maybe low to mid-20s, Scheffler maybe mid to high 30s. I think I'll take my chances that Rory can outduel him this week. So give me a little bit more Rory than Scotty on compared to their projected ownership. But that's, you know, obviously they're both great plays. And Cantlay probably just third by association almost. Not his fault, but I don't think you're going to – it's not like Cantlay's going to be 6 or 7% owned. He's still going to have his fair share of ownership. So he comes in third for me as well.
Yeah, he doesn't play a lot in Florida either. So that worries me a little bit. His form hasn't been all that great outside of the Genesis. So I'm okay fading Cantlay. And one more note on Rory, they were talking about on the broadcast. He's been teeing his driver up a lot lower, and he's talked about having a lot more control with it. So, yeah, on a course where you want to be playing from the fairway, the rough's like 3 inches thick, that definitely should play this week for Rory.
All right. So those guys are obviously great, and you can fit one of them in. Any merit to not starting with anybody up there and doing the balanced approach, which I think will be a lot more contrarian this week?
Other than it being contrarian, I don't see a lot of merit to it. I think I'm going to start with one or both.
I mean, you can still get one of those top guys and a golfer in the 9Ks if you want. We've got Hovland. We've got Schauffele. We've got Hubert. We've got Spieth, who has been playing well outside of the disqualification at the Genesis a few weeks ago. Spieth has had a decent start to the year. Sam Burns is in pretty good form as well. He has 4 straight top 10 finishes on his ledger. We've got Homa in here, Morikawa, and JT. So, of course, in the deeper field, pretty strong 9K range. Who are a couple of your favorites in here?
Yeah, so we haven't seen a lot from Hovland so far this year. He's played, 3 times and no top 15 finishes, but man, he's been awesome in Florida throughout his career. Back-to-back top 10s here. I think of a guy that's a good total driver of the ball, that's good with his long irons. That certainly screams Hovland to me. So I like him quite a bit. Xander projects really well for me at 9,800. Similar to Cantlay, you know, he doesn't play a lot in Florida. Those two tend to play the same courses each and every year. But he's been okay here. 2 for 2, T24 in 2020. From a course fit perspective, I think Hubert makes a lot of sense. And for him, like, he's seen a lot of these courses for the first time, but he played here as an amateur last year, made the cut, finished T24. I really like that. One of the better drivers of the ball in the entire world. So I like him a lot at 95. And then don't have a ton of interest in the lower nines. I'll play a little bit of Morikawa because I think he's interesting given the fact that he hits a lot of fairways, good with the long irons. And the ownership looks like it's going to be pretty low. But everyone else, man, I have a hard time getting to Burns of that ownership. Spieth has been all short game lately. JT, I don't know. Maybe we should be on JT. Like, he missed the cut at the Genesis, but he was paired with Tiger. After Tiger withdrew, JT almost came back and made the cut on, like, his last 8 holes.
The Tiger paranoia. It's those two guys at the bottom for me. I think Thomas is really interesting. And I like Morikawa a lot for tournaments. So, you know, this is the type of event where Morikawa can kind of sneak up on you, keep the ball in play, hit the greens in regulation. Maybe the putter gets hot. Seems like, you know, everybody's kind of cooled on Morikawa a little bit. He's still 5th in ball striking in this field past 24 rounds. So, yeah, I like Thomas and Morikawa, and they pair better, I think, with the top guys in still preserving some salary for you. So I'm kind of with you on Burns. Homa outside of California, I'm okay passing on him. Spieth, you know, I don't need a really good reason to pass on him since it's just been short game. So, yeah, I'm okay with Schauffele, Hubert, Hovland at the top. But, yeah, I like Morikawa and Thomas, I think.
Yeah, I do too. I think Thomas is probably – he doesn't project that well for me, but, man, he was so good prior to the Genesis, and he's won in Florida, you know, won the Players. So I'm right there with you.
All right, so let's go ahead and move down into the next range. I don't know how – so I was telling the guys before the show. So this laptop that I've had for a while, all of a sudden today, my touchscreen just died. So I don't know how. Maybe I'm abnormal, right? Maybe most people use it. So, do you use a mouse? Do you use a pad, or do you use a touchscreen?
I just have my trackpad on my laptop.
Okay, so, and that's fine. My trackpad still works fine, but the clicker doesn't work very well on it. So, for like the last 2 years, I've gotten used to using a touchscreen, literally. Yeah, just touch whatever on my screen and it goes. Click on a link, do it, solely touch screen. I have not used a mouse in a couple years. So if my mouse is too close to my mic, I hope it's not picking up all the clicks. I actually had to go and get a mouse today. So I got myself a Cardinal Red mouse. and I had to get like a, a USB plug-in thing, because with my microphone and my headphones, I did not have an open USB port for a mouse. So I needed an extra USB hub thing to plug in my new mouse that I got. So I think my laptop, which is a couple years old, is kind of on the fritz. So probably a new one on the way. But I've got to try to get used to using the mouse here. So if it's loud, I don't know if it's even coming through at all. But apologies if it is. Anyway, rant over on the use of the mouse. Like all of a sudden, just randomly at like 9:30 this morning, the touch screen just stopped working. Driver just died.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
If anyone's an IT expert that has an HP laptop, get in touch with me on the touchscreen because I miss it. I miss it dearly. I keep trying to click on things. All right, let's go into the 8K range. So I mentioned I like some of those guys at the bottom of the 9Ks a little bit. The upper part of the 8K range, I think similarly intriguing. Zalatoris, type of course where he would usually tend to excel. We know he's back in better form. Fleetwood, maybe this is the week he can finally get things done on U.S. soil. Cam Young, coming off a few strong performances in a row. Let's see, 8th at the Waste Management, 16th at the Genesis, and then 4th last week. And then a few other guys trickling down into the middle part of the 8K range. Anybody you particularly like in here?
Yeah, I really like this range. I'll always play Tommy pretty much anywhere, but especially in Florida. I like Cam Young quite a bit. He finally rates out well for me. You mentioned the good form. I gained 7.5 strokes ball striking at the Genesis, and then last week he gained across the board. Back-to-back top 15s here for Cam Young too. So I like that quite a bit. And then, yeah, Zalatoris, anytime you get him on a difficult course, you got to play him. He also gained across the board at the Genesis where he finished 2nd. So I'm fine with all 3 of them. And then the rest of the range, I'm not in love with. What about you?
Yeah, I'm sticking to the top. I like Zalatoris a good bit. I like Fleetwood a good bit. And then it's all just kind of a muddled mess for me. I'm usually a Fitzpatrick guy. I guess I'm okay. I'm kind of neutral on him this week. He does have a really strong course history, but got to see where the ownership ends up shaking out on him before I kind of make a decision. It's not like, you know, he's been producing consistent results lately. I'm looking at where we've got. So we've got him at 16 right now. That's maybe a little high for my liking, but I'm going to have so much exposure to the guys at the lower end of the 9K range and then the upper end of this range that I'll probably skip out on the middle part of the 8K range for most of my builds. We got Masayama around 12, Day around 13% ownership, Tom Kim around 8. You know, I just don't have a great feel for anybody else in this kind of mid 8K range.
Yeah, kind of right there with you. A couple things from the chat. Bruno says hi. So hi, Bruno. And Devin says 777 for you. I'm guessing that has something to do with your driver problem.
I don't know if he's trying. If I hit the slots, I can just get a new laptop. So if it comes up 777, I'll buy the fanciest laptop around if I get a nice jackpot out of it. But anyway, it's condolences are coming my way. I appreciate that. And hi to Bruno. So, like, I have had the biggest struggle the last couple weeks with how to handle guys like Tom Kim and Sungjae. Kind of always priced around the same level. I played some Sungjae last week. He was terrible again. Like, his approach game has been so un-Sungjae-like lately that I don't know. I mean, I'm a fan in general of Sungjae, and it seems weird to see him at 8K and 6% ownership, but he's good history at the API. I don't know. Just tough for me to get on board with him at the moment.
Yeah, you know where he had elite history is at PGA National, and he missed the cut last week.
That didn't work out either.
Yeah, he's lost on approach in six straight, not playing well. I mean, all parts of his game are kind of off right now. So I'm with you. I know I think Hondazzo has him tagged this week.
And yeah.
So maybe you play a little bit of him at that ownership. He's probably not going to miss the cut since most of the field will end up playing the weekend. Maybe that'll get him going a little bit, but I don't have a ton of interest.
Anything else above 8,000? Jason Day interest this week. Henley's right there. Anything else above 8K?
Day's probably the most interesting. I mean, Tom Kim, Henley, those guys are all really short off the tee. This doesn't feel like a Tigala course. Feels like he'll be in the water a lot, but he just tends to play these elevated events well. So if you want to play some Tigala, I don't mind that.
Don't hate that as well. I think he's interesting for tournaments. Probably it for me in that range as well. Maybe a little Henley I'm okay with. Otherwise, I'll start dipping down into the 7Ks. So Poston was another guy last week. He made the cut, but really struggled on the weekend. The high-end guys, some of them just really struggled last week. So now nobody's on Poston. We've got him at just 4% ownership this week. The rest of the upper 7K range, Corey Connors, Chris Kirk look to be garnering the most ownership in there. Then we've got Benny on at about 14% as well. And we get right down to 7,500 with, again, names that we're used to seeing maybe in the 8 and 9Ks. Jake Knapp won a few weeks ago. And then you've got Shane Lowry and Adam Scott here as well. Who's standing out to you in that range?
Yeah, Adam Scott's my favorite. Rates out really well for me. He's played his last seven events. Nothing outside of the top 20, five top 10s during that stretch. He's won in Florida. He's been pretty good at this course. Definitely feels underpriced to me. I like Benny on at 7,600. Continues to play well. Another good ball striking week at PGA National last week. I like Corey Connors. I was looking at this today. He has gained 24 strokes ball striking this year, and he's lost 20 on and around the greens. So it's been a ball striking clinic and a short game, whatever the opposite of a clinic is. It's been real bad. But, yeah, he's been good here before. And again, the tougher the course, the
more. A tee to green clinic and a short game hospital visit.
There you go. Although, yeah, but he's been good here. And the tougher the course, the more ball striking kind of matters. So I do like him. And then I'm with Don Yeezy on Pavon. He's been awesome. I mean, I kind of didn't believe in it, you know, after, you know, his first top 10, then he won, and then he backed it up with the third. His ball striking has been awesome. So I kind of like him a little bit at 7,900.
Yeah, I've been slow to buy in on that as well, and that has burned me. I probably will continue to be stubborn. I think one of my favorites in here is Lowry. I mean, you mentioned what he did last week, and he has not been good here in the past. So if you're looking at course history, and I know this tournament tends to be pretty predictive, but Lowry was third in the field in approach last week for all the guys that made the cut, ended up finishing top five. We know he tends to grind out well on difficult courses, and we got 5% ownership on Lowry right now. So he's one of my favorite kind of GPP targets this week. I really like Adam Scott too. I mean, I think that whole range, Benny on, Lowry, Adam Scott, I think those guys are really strong. Like if this was 5 years ago, Adam Scott would be the mega chalk this week. And I don't know if it's just an age thing or, but Adam Scott has started the year really strong. He's only 7,500. I think he's a fine play in any game format this week. But Lowry is the guy that I am really looking at in GPPs.
Yeah, I mean, Scott was extremely popular like two events ago and in a similar price point. So I'm a little surprised he's not getting more ownership. But to your point, what do you make of Lowry's course history? One for five?
And no, it's really bad.
I don't understand.
I'm covering my eyes. I don't either because you – it surprised me when I looked at it because I wouldn't have expected it.
Yeah, same. Most Florida courses tend to play similarly. Good long iron player. So I don't know. What about Jake Knapp? I was so impressed with his T4 last week. I never saw that coming. I thought after the win, he would miss the cut. And man, played great. I can't do it, but he played great.
Yeah, I can't either at 13% ownership. This field is a real step up. You know, the experience tends to matter here, and there's so many guys around him that I like. you know, if he was cheaper, I probably would. But yeah, I think I'm out.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Anybody else? So I like a lot of those guys right at 7,500 or just above 7,500. I don't really like anybody else above 7K except maybe two guys. I think Hoagie is interesting. I think Jaeger is interesting after a miscut last week, which I believe was on the number for Jaeger. So those two guys I like. That's probably about it for me above 7K. Anybody else for you?
Outside of those guys, Harris English is a little interesting. He's played well here in the past, coming off of back-to-back top 20s on tour. Keegan Bradley's been really good here, three straight top 11s. And then Christian Bezuden out, burned me last week, but the approach numbers have been so good. He's just been bad off the tee, so if he can fix that a little bit. I know he's not a longer hitter, but he's made his last two cuts here. So if you're looking for a safer option, I don't mind Cebes.
All right. We don't have the salary floor into the 5Ks this week, so that is one change, but it's not like you were playing a lot of those guys anyway. And we do have some rosterable options in the 6Ks. EVR coming off a T2 is 6,600. Adam Svensson was really popular last week. You know, Sepp Straka is really cheap. Taylor Moore's been getting some buzz. And then, of course, the elephant in the room, we have to talk about what to do with Minwoo Lee. So Minwoo Lee is 6,600 on DraftKings. He is 10K on FanDuel. So he's right around the average price you have to spend on FanDuel. I mean, is this just a mispriced by DraftKings? So rarely has a guy that's just way off. But yeah, Minwoo Lee at 6,600. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, huge misprice. He's 50-1 to win this week. The guys around him are 200-1, 110-1, 125. I mean, guys that are 50-1 are
7,500.
75 or even in the 8Ks. Like Wyndham Clark is 50-1. He's 8,500. So definitely a big misprice there. FanDuel's got him up to 10,000. When it comes to Minwoo, I'm going to play him. We saw him play great at the Players last year. He's been good at PGA National. If you look at his stats, I mean, he's a lead off the tee, a lead around the green. He's a positive putter. He's really bad on approach, but he gained 6 strokes on approach last week. So maybe he's found something. I'm going to be overweight. What about you?
Yeah, I am too. And this is part of the reason in lockstep why I said I might be overweight on Rory and underweight on Scheffler. Because, look, it's no secret that it's really easy to do a Minwoo and Scheffler build this week. And if you're playing cash games, those are the first two guys you put in your lineup. I don't think there's any question about it. It's Scheffler and it's Minwoo Lee. And so I was kind of banking on Minwoo maybe pushing 35% ownership. We've got him at 20, and I think enough people are going to just play the game theory angle that I'm just going to play him. He's the best play in this range by a wide margin. We've got him at 13% to be in the optimal lineup in our projections, and 20% projected ownership. I think that's fine. And get different with, you know, one or two other guys in your lineup. So I am not going to get cute with Minwoo. If 20% is the projected ownership, I'll probably be double that. 40-ish is kind of where I'm thinking about putting him in right now. And I'm okay with that. So, you know, if you want to play the strict game theory angle and say, hey, I'm not going to play the cheap chalk, you know, obviously the logic is there to potentially do that, but he's just so much better talent-wise than a lot of these other guys that I'd rather play him and get different with my expensive plays, I think.
Yep, I'm doing that as well.
All right, anybody else here in the cheap seats that you would like as a pivot?
I like Adam Svensson at 6,400. He was the chalk last week, missed the cut, just had a bad Friday, but good iron player, T24 here last year. I like Taylor Moore a little bit. I like Adam Shank a little bit. And that should just about do it for me.
I think Shank is interesting as well as a GPP option. I'll probably go back to Svensson, even though he burned me last week. Brian in the YouTube chat. So Don Yeezy's asking about having the stones to go back to Cole. I can't do it after the dead last basically last week. And then Brian is saying, do we wait a week on Harris English? There's been a lot of chatter about Harris English this week. I'm not a Harris English guy, so he's like another generally easy fade for me when he starts to get popular. I don't know. I don't have a strong take on either of those guys other than I'm probably not playing either one.
Hey, English was my Brian Harman before Brian Harman last year. And then he got real good. He won, and then he kind of dipped off. But I'm not really sure why we would save him for next week. He's like missed 8 straight cuts to players or something.
Well, you just don't save him for either week if you're me. That's just.
And then Cole. I mean, look, I played Cole at like 9,800 and 30% ownership. So yeah, I'll play him at 7,400 and 5% ownership.
Last week was like the first week we got him wrong. Yeah. So. I mean, he's okay. I probably just won't go back to that. Well, enough other players that I like this week. And CT Pan, if you want to go cheap, but we kind of joked about him playing well at the tournament last week, even though he was only like 2 for 8 making cuts this year. He was, I think, well, right up at the lead after the first round. Faded a bit on the weekend, but still finished T28. So if you want a YOLO flyer all the way at the bottom at 6K, I do think CT Pan is the best option at that bare minimum salary if you need somebody there. So, all right, let's go. We've already gone almost 45 minutes in a field of 69 golfers. So maybe that was just me complaining about having to use a mouse for a few minutes. But we will go to our weekly snake draft now. So if you are not sticking around for that, just a couple reminders. Be sure to check us out at rotogrinders.com. Great new redesign on the site. Looks fresh. And you can, of course, check out all our premium content for golf as well. We've got our SimLabs tool for PGA up and running. Really cool. If you've never used it before, you can set basically just some brief parameters if you want. What type of contest are you playing? And it'll spit out some lineup construction ideas for you with just a couple clicks. You can get a little bit more specific on it if you want for including or excluding certain players. But if you're familiar with our lineup HQ tools, you'll integrate right in with the SimLabs tools there at RotoGrinders as well. And of course, if you're not a premium member, great time to sign up. A huge couple months coming up on the golf calendar. So check us out at rotogrinders.com. Be sure to hit the like button at the very least on the video. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Help us beat those YouTube algorithms. And of course, we appreciate your support and your viewership every week.